Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
I was going
to
go, and will I? Yeah, welcome everybody. Welcome back to our love shack.
Yes, our separately isolated by a couple of miles apart love shack.
Yeah, it's a little...
Virtual love shack.
It's a little old place where we can get together.
Where everybody knows your name.
Yeah. But there's that weird bit in the middle where she goes, tin roof, rusted. And it's like, what?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I was doing...
I'm talking about the only thing that can be talked about when someone says love shack. So if you're also talking about something else...
Oh no, I switched over to, I think it's the Cheers theme tune.
Yeah, fuck right off.
Is that what it is, where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came?
Yeah, that is that. But I was obviously referencing the fucking classic B-52s song.
Yeah,
Love Shack.
Yeah.
Why would you take it in an unwanted direction? Oh god, fucking hell. Anyway, Harry Potter on my pie hole. Technically, that's not untrue.
Because I guess your pie hole's your mouth, unless you're doing weird shit with pies.
Yeah. I mean, there was a whole like series of films about it.
There were. That's true. That was like my favourite film when I was a teenager.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I saw 1, 2, and 3... And then at the end of it all, I remember thinking, I don't know if I liked any of these films. Yeah, I think I only watched it because the girl from Buffy was in it. I didn't care like other than that.
Right. I just found them quite relatable, I think.
And what's that film where he walks in on his best friend and his friend has like microwaved a grapefruit and cut a hole in it? And he's like fucking the grapefruit on like the couch.
And the I think like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the guy's like, what are you doing? And then the guy doesn't even, like, stop. He just, like, says something to him and then carries on. Oh, fuck. What is it? Oh, I can't remember. He's got someone in it who's famous, I guess. Anyway, fuck it.
Yeah. Like that. So, I heard a story of someone who, like, microwaved a melon.
Yeah.
To do that with.
Yeah.
And microwaved it until it sort of, like, felt slightly warm to the touch on the outside. And obviously because it heats from the inside out.
Yeah.
Stuck it in and it was like burning hot.
Oh my god. That's awful.
Yeah.
They should really put that on the wrapper in Sainsbury's. It does say like leave to stand for 1 minute on most microwavable items, so
it does. Although I don't know that watermelon really counts as a microwavable item. I mean, it's just anything you can put in a microwavable item. All right, so we kick off the second half of this novel. And we're kicking off with chapter 16, A Very Frosty Xmas.
Yeah. I wrote Xmas too.
Me too. It's like a shorthand way of writing Christmas. Fancy that.
A Very Frosty Christmas. There we go.
Yes, Frosty Crucifix. Oh, I guess the crucifix wasn't Christmas.
No, fucking hell. That'd be sad, wouldn't it, if he died on his birthday?
Yeah, like Shakespeare.
Did Shakespeare die on his birthday?
I think so. Although, actually, I think there might be some, like, ambiguity about his exact birth date.
Isn't there, like, a lot of ambiguity about him in general?
I think so.
I don't know why everyone bums him so much. I think he sucks.
Oh, wow. Spoken like a true Philistine. Anyway.
Oh god.
Harry and Ron are peeling potatoes at the Burrow.
Yeah, peeling potatoes, waxing their butt cracks.
Yeah, the two go hand in hand, obviously.
Yeah, because you can't have Christmas dinner with a hairy butt crack. New wax strips, Christmas edition. And Molly's like, I'm going down to Boots right now.
Leave some potatoes for the peeling. You know, you've got to do them together.
What we'll do, we'll each do one, and then we can try and guess which one it belongs to by the shade of ginger it is. Obviously, we know which one is Harry's.
We'll each peel a strip of skin off a potato and then each peel a strip of wax off each other's anus. Be a fun family day.
And Fleur does hers and it just looks like a strip of glitter and everyone's like, wow, let's put that around the tree.
Ginny and Molly are just like, ugh. Of course it's sparkly.
Yeah, like red looks pretty too on a tree. And everyone's like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm going to hang my pubes on the tree as well.
So Ginny goes upstairs and comes back down and she is like completely bald from head to foot. And Harry's like, I don't think I've had to see you anymore. Can we just draw some hair on you? Fine, here's a Sharpie. Oh, fuck it, that looked awful. She just ended up looking like Charlie Chaplin by the end of it. Oh, fuck it.
Well, if we now have a selection of wigs, we can maybe make you not ginger anymore. That's an intriguing prospect.
Oh, fucking hell, no, that's not what they're doing at all, is it?
Oh, they're just peeling potatoes.
Yeah.
They're not doing any of that other shit.
But they are talking about the unbreakable vow.
Yeah, Harry tells Ron about Malfoy and Snape and the unbreakable vow, and Ron's like, you can't break an unbreakable vow. And Harry's like, no. Oh, it's all become clear now. Thank you, Ron.
Oh, that's what un means. Yeah, Ron's like... Ron's like, yeah, like the twins tried to get me to make one when I was a kid and Dad caught us. We were like holding hands and everything. And Dad weren't mental.
Yeah.
In fact, they were triplets, but we only have two of them left after that.
What would the third one be called?
Fred, George, probably like Peter.
Yeah, like Arthur's their dad's name.
Art?
Alfie
Weasley.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Alfie Weasley.
If his full name's Alfred.
Alfred Weasley.
He could be called Fred as well.
Oh, yeah, that wouldn't work then, really. Because you can't have Fred and Fred. But maybe they would be like the two close twins, and then George is like the runt.
Yeah, and then the second Fred was the one who Arthur killed when they caught him trying to do the unbreakable vow.
Yeah, so like, now you're
the
only friend.
It was like, now you have to be.
Yeah, Fred 2, you're now Fred 1.
Promotions all around.
And Molly's like, you got a promotion? And Arthur's like, no, Molly, of course not.
No, I just killed one of our children.
Oh, and Molly's like, oh, thank God, an extra Christmas dinner for me. Oh, fucking hell, Christmas at Louise's.
Wow.
Fucking hell, God, just what a sitcom.
So much various bits of human anatomy on the menu.
Jesus. Ugh. Jesus Christmas.
Then George comes in, I don't know, the twins overhear them talking about them or something. Something about Fred's ass.
Because Arthur smacked his bum.
Yeah. And Fred's like, who are you talking about my bum, old fool? You waxing? And they sort of goad each other a bit and Ron throws a knife at them.
I know! Jesus Christ.
Which I guess is like maybe not that big of a deal in the wizard world because you would expect someone to magically transform it. And even if it does hit them, you can just be like, frip.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, you'd have to like sever someone's spinal cord for it to be like undoable, I guess.
Yeah, which is probably hard to do with a potato peeling knife throwing it out from the front.
Yeah.
Still pretty dangerous though.
Yeah, just reckless. This fucking family, I swear to God. They obviously weren't raised properly though.
No. More shots at Molly.
Oh God, but they're like, Bill is told that he has to share with Fred and George because Lupin is coming to stay for Christmas.
Yeah, and Ginny's going to share with Fleur and they're like, well, she'll be happy about that. Bloody glitter everywhere.
Just the morning after when Ginny comes at me with like a glitter moustache.
Still completely bald.
Yeah. And she's like, you know what? I actually really love Fleur now. She never makes me do things I don't want to do.
Yes, we had one cup in that bedroom, you see.
Oh, Tom! Oh, God. Harry says, look, I'm going to tell Dumbledore about this thing.
Yeah, and he's like, well, yeah, but I mean, you know, what he's probably going to say, he's probably just going to say Snape was pretending to be helping Malfoy so we can find out what he's up to, and Dumbledore maybe already knows. And Harry's like, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, which is, like, pretty much exactly what fucking happens.
Yeah, and Harry's like, yeah, because when Ron asked him if he's going to tell Dumbledore, Harry's like, yeah, I'm going to fucking tell anyone who might be able to help. Dumbledore's top of the list, probably going to speak to your dad as well. And I'm like,
sensible thing you've ever done, Harry.
Yeah, I'm glad to see he's learned his lesson about that, because he's up till now, he's had a habit of trying to do everything himself and not tell anyone about it for some reason. And it's like, Harry.
Harry. So they've all sat down on Christmas Eve to listen to Celestina Warbeck on the wireless.
Yes, and Fleur's being a fucking trolley wallop as usual.
He's like, oh, what is this song? You charm the heart right out of me. Got a shit melody. Sounds like Kraftwerk. Molly's like, yeah, it's from her more experimental album. So, like, you charm the heart right out of me. Boop, boop. It's like, wow. Went straight in at number 82 and fell out the following week. That was when Celestina went to rehab, and we never saw her again because she died of an opiate overdose.
In rehab.
Yeah. See, rehab isn't very good if you're a wizard because you can just magic stuff in.
So, yeah, Harry tells, he gets a chance to speak to Arthur on Christmas Eve and tells him about the Harry Snape thing. Lupin overhears, and Lupin's like, you're determined to hate Snape, Harry. We must trust Dumbledore. And raises, as usual, some very sensible points.
He does, but does someone take this boy seriously?
I know what you mean. Like, it is frustrating that no one's at least, like, humouring him or at least explaining something. Everyone's basically just trying to dismiss him and tell him he's being stupid, which is super annoying because literally every suspicion Harry's raised like this for the last 5 years has been right and everyone else has been wrong.
Yeah, and I don't know how they don't remember that.
Yeah, like, super annoying, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God.
But in this case, it just so happens that Harry is wrong and all of the others are right. But...
That's true, but I feel like Harry isn't being like...
He's not. His accusations aren't unfounded.
Yeah, and he's not being, like, unreasonable about it. He's just saying, look, can we please investigate?
Yeah.
And I think that's fair enough, and no one seems to want to do that.
No. I mean, Arthur did investigate the Malfoys after what he said to him at the start of the year.
That's true. That's probably why Arthur doesn't take him seriously.
Maybe.
He's like, do you know how fucking embarrassing it was, mate, to go to that house and find absolutely nothing?
You threw me under the bus there, didn't you, you little wanker?
Yeah, you threw me under the night bus, you little shit. Like, they already think I'm useless. Now they think I'm doubly useless. They've taken away my office at the ministry. I'm now just working inside a boot. But like a foot boot or a car boot?
Where's... No, it's like, you know, the old woman who lived in the shoe. It's that kind of deal.
Yes, except they haven't made the boot any larger. I just have to try and fit my face inside one. I can't see any of my work because my hands are still on the outside. So it's very upsetting.
It's a standard ministry punishment. It made me work with my face in a piece of footwear. It's
I'm sitting in the corner with a boot on my head and no desk. So I'm having to lean against the wall to try and write my reports, Harry. It's awful. I haven't even got a job anymore. They just make me write out lines. Saying Arthur's a cunt, Arthur's a cunt, Arthur's a cunt. And then I come home and I've got money to do. Fucking hell.
All the weird anal waxing and potato peeling and glitter. I don't need this, Harry.
In fact, Harry, I shouldn't tell you this, but I've taken up with the vicar who lives down in the village. It's just a thrilling adventure, Harry. I've never been so excited. In fact, I think this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. In fact, Harry, tell me to go and investigate someone else. Go on, go on. Harry's like, I'm going to go to bed. Bye. Oh, fucking hell. Lupin's been living amongst other werewolves.
Yes. Yes. But they're all on Voldemort's side, especially with Greyback out there. And Harry's like, who? And then he does, we get the explanation of who Fenrir Greyback is.
Yeah, he's the one who turned a Lupin into a wolf.
A wolf?
A wolf?
Yeah.
What's wolf backwards is flow.
Whoa.
Wow. He turned me into a flow, Harry. Harry's like, oh, so like, you're really good at rapping now. And Lupin's like, oh, you little scoundrel.
Ha.
Oh, have I got the energy to do a Lupin rap? No. Oh, God.
That Lupin flow. Then Harry asks Lupin if he's ever heard of the Half-Blood Prince. And Lupin's like, nope. Check the date on the book. It might give you some clue as to when this guy was at school. And then Harry checks the book and it's over 50 years old. Which is dumb, because it's like, just because that was when the book was printed doesn't mean that was when it was in circulation at school. That book's still in circulation at school.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, I didn't even pick up on that bit, probably because it was dumb. Fuck it, ugh, Turner fucking 50 years ago.
Yeah.
There's more years than 50 years ago.
Yeah, there's more periods of history than 50 years ago, JK. God. Such an idiot.
Oh, fucking hell, she's finally cool up to this episode on the podcast, and she's like, I don't know what I've done. Oh my God.
Ah, she knows what she's done.
And her husband goes to bring her like a cup of tea in the morning, and he goes into her office and she's sitting in the corner with a boot on her end, and he's like, what's going on?
This is my punishment.
Oh, fucking hell. Yeah.
So Harry wakes with a start on Christmas morning to the sound of, she's gotta be joking.
Yeah.
And Ron's got a thick gold chain from Lavender that says, my sweetheart.
A goldy looking chain.
Yeah, yeah, she has. He's like, oh, she, but I love, what makes her think I want a bloody word this, eh?
But for real though, what did make her think that?
I mean, Ron says they don't do much talking.
That's true. She can only extrapolate from what she sees he hasn't got and figures out how she's going to fill that space.
Yes.
So she gives him a goldy looking chain, trousers that aren't jack-ups, and
some self-worth.
Yeah.
Harry gets a jumper from Molly with a golden snitch hand knitted into it. He gets a collection of wheezes from the twins and a stinky packet from Creature.
Yeah, it's like, dear master, here's a collection of a year's worth of my smegma. Loves and kisses, cringe. Harry's like, wow, he really does love me. Or Harry doesn't know what smegma is, so he starts putting it on. It's like
just like dips his finger in it, tastes it like...
Oh, cool, we gave me like a cheesy dip. Oh, look, I had a packet of Doritos. Ron's like, fuck it, Harry.
Let me have some.
They go down for Christmas dinner and both of their faces are just like erupted in like fucking like pustules around their mouth. Molly's like, oh, I haven't seen those since the summer of 67. Ah, a lovely time in the lavender bushes.
Speaking of lavender's bush.
Bush, lavender, comedy.
Then what happens? Oh, yeah, and over lunch, Harry's asking Lupin about how someone's Patronus can change. He mentions Tonks and is like, how can that happen? How can someone's Patronus change? And Lupin's like, well, sometimes great emotional upheaval
sometimes you get very affected by a movie that you saw. Like a couple of years ago, Harry, I did a Patronus and it came out as a fucking T-Rex.
The Dementors just stayed still and I couldn't see them.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if your Patronus was Jeff Goldblum?
I would love that.
Me too. Oh, God. No, I want my Patronus to be Laura Dern when she has, like, the torch wrapped around her ankle and she's trying to, like, to run across the, like, the field to Alan. So, do you remember that bit? You must do.
Probably, but I don't know these names.
Oh, Laura Dern, the blonde woman.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, the main woman in Jurassic Park, right?
But when she sees him across the thing and she's like, run, run. And then she like hops across the thing with the torch around her ankle. I'd want that to be my Patronus.
The Dementors are just like, I'm not fucking with this guy's soul.
Yeah.
Dude is messed up.
Oh, God. Harry has a maggot in his hair and Ginny picks it out and Harry gets all shivery inside when she touches him.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it when she picks maggots off him.
Yeah.
It's his thing.
And Fleur's like, oh, this is horrible, at the maggot. And Ron asks Fleur if she wants gravy.
Ah, I missed that.
As soon as they said it, I like just creased. Molly's like, fresh this morning.
I was like, oh, well, yes, of course. I don't like your family very much, but, you know, I have taste.
I love chunky gravy with wisps of disappointment in it.
I love all the congealed lumps.
Oh, God. Oh, God, it's extra dark brown gravy this Christmas. She's been saving it up all year. Yes,
to reflect the somber mood.
And Harry feels something like around his feet and he looks down and it's just like a pool of like congealed brown liquid. And he goes, Mrs. Weasley. And she's like, oh, I've got to turn the tap off. She just reaches down. And I was like, Molly, not at the table. He's like, sorry, Arthur.
Harry's just making notes like, they have taps down there. Fascinating.
Yeah, I wonder how big Ginny's tap is. I wonder if she has like a turny tap. One of the newfangled ones where you just like slide it to the left and then slide it to the right.
Yes. Or if she has the old school with the two separate ones for the hot and the cold.
Yeah. And Ginny's like, are you all right? He's like, yes. What kind of tap do you have, Ginny?
Just, oh, Harry, I've been waiting for so long for you to ask me that.
And Ginny's like, taps, everyone, taps. And all the women just stand on the table. Oh, God.
It's like the wizard equivalent of a wet t-shirt contest.
And then Lupin jumps up and he's got like a strap-on tap. Oh, my God. Oh, fucking hell. And then Scrimgeour appears.
Yeah, with Percy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And they're all like, oh, you know, we were in the area doing some work on Christmas Day and we heard there was a tap contest going on.
So I thought I'd bring the minister around to give him a little sampling of mum's gravy on tap.
Mum's faucets.
Yeah. She knows how to pour it to get the foam right off the top. Mm. Scrimgeour's like, aye, that's what I like to see. A good foaming on top of me tap. And Percy's like, oh, God, I wish I was dead. Percy gives Molly a hug and is like, hello, mother, and tries to staunchly ignore the rest of the party.
Yes, indeed. And then what else? Oh, yeah, and then Scrimgeour's like, oh, you know, I wouldn't want to intrude on Percy catching up with his family. Maybe this young man, he's finished his spiel. He could take me and show me around the garden. Looks at Harry and everyone's like, yeah, good job, mate.
So he takes Harry outside in the snow. And then he's like, they kind of have a conversation that culminates in Scrimgeour being like, so, you know, we want the public to, you know, feel like the ministry is doing something, you know. So maybe if you could, you know, just like pop in every now and again.
Yeah, the idea that there might be a chosen one who's destined to beat you know who could be good for public morale. And if you could be seen coming out of the ministry again, show that you're sort of on side and we're all working together. And Harry's like, you want to make me a mascot?
Yeah. And then he's like, well, you know, potato, potato. And then Harry's like, well, I don't really agree with what the ministry is doing, like shutting up Stan Shumpike for doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, Dolores Umbridge tells me you have aspirations to be an Ouro. This can be arranged. And he's like, oh, Umbridge is there, is she? And he's all like, I haven't forgotten last year and I was ridiculed by the ministry all year and Umbridge being a horrible, horrible cunt and all that.
Yeah, and then Scrimgeour's like, ah, well, it's clear that Dumbledore has done a good job on you.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, he fucking has. I can take a whole zucchini up there now. And Scrimgeour's like, I mean, that would be impressive too, if you could come to the ministry and demonstrate that. Oh, God. And then it cuts to, like, Harry basically tells him to go and get knotted. And then it cuts to, like, the next chapter. And for a second, I was like, oh, fuck, is my audiobook, like, missing a bit? But it kind of just, like, tells you, like, in, like, retrospect, like, a brief summary of what happened at the end of that.
Yeah. They all threw mashed potato at Percy for some reason.
But that's how you start the tap party. You throw mashed potato at someone, then you pour the gravy on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you fling the slab of beef.
Oh, of course. I've got to forget the slab of beef.
And then you bend them over and put an after eight with the wrapper on up the anus.
Hmm.
And you have to wait for it to go back through up the body and out the mouth.
I'm still waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, and Molly's been crying ever since.
Yeah, and it's like it's late afternoon one day after the new year and they're returning to Hogwarts via the kitchen fireplace in the Weasley's house that has been arranged as a one-off connection to the flu network just so they can get back to Hogwarts safely.
They go back up to the common room and Hermione meets them there because they haven't got the new password and she's just completely ignoring Ron.
Yeah, she's all like, I've got something to tell you, Harry. And Harry's like, I've got something to tell you too.
Do we find out what that thing is that Hermione wants to tell him?
I don't know.
Because I can't remember her telling him anything.
No, but I'm sure she runs up to them like, oh, I've got stuff to tell you.
She does, yeah, but then I was waiting for her to do it and then I can't remember her doing it.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, well.
If we forgot, then I'm sure that JK did too. Yeah, and so Hermione thinks that Snape was acting on Dumbledore's orders.
And then he mentions Greyback and she's like, oh, yeah, well, you've heard his name before. Malfoy threatened Borgin with Fenrir Greyback when we overheard him in the shop. And it's just like, yeah, that is suspicious. He could be faking, I guess. But, like, I think she's coming around to the idea more and more.
I just don't know. I just wish that she was on board.
I know.
I wish she would just get a ticket for the Harry train and enjoy the ride instead of fucking just being so resolutely, you know.
Putting people on her trains.
Yes. On her fucking gravy trains. I was just thinking about Hermione's gravy trains then.
Thinking about her taps.
I imagine it'd be sort of like, I don't know.
I think they'd be like pristine and clean and neatly functional. Yeah. But what came out of them would be fairly bland and flavourless.
Yeah, I think that too. I feel like you would finish it and be like, okay, well, I feel like I got my like daily like RDA of vitamins and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But it also was kind of like making like a kale smoothie.
Yeah.
I don't really want that.
Yeah.
What I want is something more exotic.
Those Weasley taps are like colourful and characterful and a bit off the wall and
grubby.
A bit grubby, yeah.
Yeah.
But full of character and full of flavour.
Yeah. I feel like Malfoy taps would be like, so the taps themselves would be very like ornate.
Yeah.
But I feel like the liquid would taste kind of like frosty icing.
Very processed. Very like synthesized.
Yeah, like my kind of favourite flavour.
Yeah. Factory chemicals.
if we ever do food, that would be our first lion in the sweets. We do like drinks that straight from the taps.
Straight from the taps.
Harry Potter families.
It's an extension of the Molly's gravy line.
Yeah.
They sign up for apparition lessons because they're on offer to anyone turning 17 before the 31st of August.
Yeah, I want to do apparition now, except not really because I think it's stupid still.
Why do you think it's stupid?
I just think it's so much work. The amount of concentration it takes to not do it like wrong, I can't be arsed.
I can't. There's not a lot I wouldn't do for that convenience, to be honest. If it meant a year's hard work every day to be able to do that for the rest of my life, I would do that easily.
Yeah, but you're that kind of guy, though. You can start a thing and then finish it.
Thank you.
Whereas me, I'm like, oh, my mouth is tired.
Yeah. You'll power through that lockjaw.
Harry goes for another door lesson.
Yes, another D door. And he's all like, yeah, I hear you met the minister. Harry's like, yeah, he was a prick.
That minister's some prick, you know. I'm up in my hair, thinks that I care. Sorry, that was a Dizzy Rascal song. Do you remember that song?
No.
Oh, that was I Love You. Do you remember that? I love you, you, you. That boy's some prick, you know. All up in my hair, thinks that I care. Follow me here, follow me there. These days I can't go nowhere.
I do not remember that song.
Oh, it's such a jam. I think that was his first one. Like, because it's like him and the girl doing it. Ain't that your girl? I ain't got no girl. I swear that's your girl. It's like, all right, chill out.
Like, we're both single. What's the issue?
So, yeah, Harry's like, no, Rufus, no. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Dumbledore's... No, wait, Harry is like... Harry's like, yeah, he said I was Dumbledore's man through and through. Dumbledore's like, how incredibly rude of him. Harry's like, and I said, yeah, I was. And they share a moment of watery-eyed silence.
Yes, and then Dumbledore just goes, smegma. And Harry's like, I mean, okay. I mean, I didn't have much luck with the tub I had, but I don't know if you've got a better stash.
Like, I've got a whole kitchen full of house elves, Harry. Yeah.
And every night, Harry, they come into my bed, they deliver my bedpan, and they get a Q-tip, and they rub it around the inside of my foreskin, and then they put it in a jar, and they've been saving it up, Harry. Look, they brought it to me today. And then he rolls out like a milk flagon just full of his smeg.
Oh, my God.
It's like, this is the lesson today, Harry. We're going to put this in the bowl.
Yeah, we're going to put this in the pensive. Let's see what it shows us. Oh, that's fucking disgusting. Yeah, and then Harry tells Dumbledore about Malfoy and Snape, and Dumbledore's like, it's not something of great importance. And Harry's like, buh. And Dumbledore's like, look, just fucking trust me. I know what's up.
Yeah, he proper snaps, didn't he?
Yeah.
And what I liked is that there wasn't like a really awkward moment afterwards.
Yeah, he just kind of went, right, and just sort of got straight on with it.
Yeah, because Harry sort of like sits down like, oh, fuck, fine then. Mm. And then Dumbledore's like, oh, Harry, how often this happens where two friends think that what they have to say is each more important than what the other has to say.
But trust me, my thing is more important than yours.
Yes. Harry, everything you do is trivial. The only important thing you ever did was done to you when you was a little baby and your mum died to save you.
Yes. Now I'm trying to teach you how to be useful again. Are you going to listen?
So yeah, Harry put, not Harry, Dumbledore puts his magic silver in the pensive.
Yes.
Two memories to show Harry.
Yes. So we continue our tale of Tom Riddle's early years. I kept an eye on him while he was at Hogwarts, but he soon gathered a group of close friends around him. Although, as I sort of mentioned last time, he probably never felt any affection for any of them. He basically brings Harry up to speed from how Tom Riddle got from the last memory they saw to the one they're about to see.
And what was the last memory we saw? Was that him in the orphanage?
Yeah.
Okay.
And sort of what he's like at Hogwarts and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's yeah backwards? Hey!
Hi!
I'm going to say that for now on.
Well, you've tried to replace the word yeah before. It didn't quite work, did it?
Really? What are we?
Yim yam yaha.
Oh, that was fucking dope. I completely forgot. hey. Right, so...
Sounds, when you do it like that, it sounds a little bit Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, she has fucking made her way into every aspect of this podcast.
Yeah.
This should be called Alanis Morissette Presents Poorly Read.
Yeah, we're angling for her to come and be the opening act for our live shows.
Yeah, can I imagine she just did like a cover of our theme tune. She's like, duh, 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 Poorly Read. Oh god, we're like, thanks Alanis.
Alanis Morissette, everybody.
She's like, I did have another song, and they were like, Alanis Morissette, everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, imagine I'll just be like total guns for Alanis Morissette.
Yeah, just no reason. Yeah. Just coming after Alanis Morissette now.
She just goes and sits down in the audience with a guitar. And then we finish the show and then she comes up to the stage and we're like, oh, sorry, Alanis, so we ain't got time. She just goes back down again. But, we have got time to play the whole of Bye 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 by NSYNC. Woo! And she's like, oh, man.
Well, do you want us to cut Bye Bye Bye, Alanis?
Yeah, do you want to sing Bye Bye Bye?
Someone's going to have
guitar?
To.
Oh, Alas. Oh, Alanis. Bye, bye, bye. Go, Alanis. You failed even when you tried.
It's gonna be May.
Okay, that was similar. Okay, come and sing that one, Alanis. What do you mean your guitar's broken? Fucking hell.
What do you mean you should have been able to have a place backstage to put it? Fucking hell. Diva
over
here.
Yeah, we gave you that bit under the table.
Yeah.
You had a dressing room. There was at least 3 cubicles in that toilet. Yeah, we said that we'll pay you when we get, like, rich and stuff. So, like, it's fine.
Yeah, you can find the definition of rich and stuff in your contract. Shouldn't have been so desperate to sign anything, should you?
Yeah.
I don't even know what I mean by that.
Oh, Alanis, this is a jagged little pill for you to swallow.
Bye.
And then she leaves, right? And then from outside, and she hears us play Ironic. I'm like, look, it just came on my shuffle.
Isn't that coincidental?
Oh, fucking hell. Alanis Morissette just traipses it back to a train station, dragging her ukulele on the floor. Oh, my God.
Oh, let's make it happen.
Oh, wow. Oh, anyway, Tom Riddle's a cunt.
Yes. Yes, they go the old, Harry recognises it after a little while of looking around, as the old Gaunt house, but it's like super duper filthier than it was. And there's a man with wild hair and a beard just sort of sat staring at nothing.
Yeah, I wonder how long he's been there now.
Long ass time. I mean,
yeah,
it's been like 16...
13, 14 years since he got out of Azkaban, right?
Well, how long was he in Azkaban for?
Like 3 years, I think.
All right. Well, because this has been... I mean, depends. Tom Riddle is either 16 or 17 at this... Well, he's not 17 yet, because then we have a little bit about he was underage casting...
Ugh, yeah.
Yeah, we Should we just... Yeah. Let's just shrug at that bit and move on. so we know he's not quite 17. We know he's not 17. So he's maybe 15 or 16. So yeah, 12, 13 years.
Yeah, so fucking, what's his name? Morphin's just been sitting in that filth for that long.
Sitting in his filth.
Yeah, sitting in his smeg.
What is it with you and smegma this episode?
I don't know. It's my word of the day.
I don't know. Just like the water's gone out of my house and like just got smegma on the mind for some reason. The door creaks. There's a knock on the door and then it creaks open and it's Teen de Mort.
Or Voldeteen.
But yeah.
Or
Voldeen Mort. Volder young man.
Volder young man. Young man a mort.
Voldelescent.
Ah!
All right, well, it's got to be that now, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, fucking hell. And then Morphin opens the door and is like, you're him, you're that muggle.
Yeah, he goes to sort of lunge at him and then Voldelescent says, stop. It sounds like almost like a sort of, like an aroma.
Voldelescent.
Like Voldelescent.
That's the name of his tap. Oh god, the advert is just some woman like wading into like a spooky lagoon, and like a load of like snakes like follow her in and stuff, and then she like swishes around in the water, and then the snakes like wrap themselves around her. She looks up at the camera and she's like, "Ah, Voldemort lessons." New from Tom. I think that'd smell really nice. It'd be like in like a
spooky lagoon and snake.
Yeah. No, I can't. It's like I can smell the smell that I think it would smell like, but I can't describe it.
Well, that's why perfume adverts are ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, right?
Because it's really hard to describe like a new smell that's been created.
Yeah. It would have, I imagine, sort of like a oceany, like sort of like a green oceany kind of tinge to it. But if you can imagine like opulence distilled into a fragrance, it would have like that in it as well, with like a hint of pine, I feel. Yeah. Spray okay. That on your cooch.
Yeah. Stick that up your taps. They have a little, you speak it. He's like, yeah, I speak it. Where's Marvolo? Like, he died years ago, and I'm Morphin, his son, etc. And he's like, I thought you were that muggle. You look right like him, Riddle.
Yeah, and then doesn't Tom go, what? And then he's like, the one who lives up on the, like, in the village. He came back, you see. I knew he wouldn't stay with her.
He came back, and then she robbed us. Where's the locket? Where's Slytherin's locket? And then fucking Voldelescence goes on a bit of a killie spree.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because the memory ends, doesn't it? It fades to black.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, what? And then Dumbledore's like, well, after that...
Morphin didn't remember anymore.
Yeah, and he woke up in the morning with his ring missing. Nah. and a maid up in the village running from the Riddle house screaming that the whole family had been murdered. And when the Ministry came to call... because Morphin was a wizard in the local area who'd already been charged with muggle offences. Morphin had a perfect recollection of how he'd gone up to the village and killed the Riddles. But the only thing he couldn't explain was how his ring had gone.
Yeah, he always kept muttering, like, he'll kill me for losing his ring. And he just muttered that until he died in Azkaban.
Yeah. And then Harry's like, oh my god, so Tom, like, bewitched Riddle, Morphin. Got rid of his memories and stuff. And Dumbledore's like, yes, he stupefied him, went up to the house, Avada Kedavra and everyone in there, and then came back to modify Morphin's memory.
And took the ring.
Yeah, as you do.
Yes.
Yeah, Harry asks about the trace and Dumbledore explains it, and it doesn't really explain anything still. I'm still massively confused by it.
Yeah, so Harry's like... He says, but Riddle was underage. How can he have used magic without the Ministry finding out? And he's like, well, they certainly would have known that magic was performed there, but it lets them see that magic has been done, but not necessarily who did it. It's just the sort of general area around it. And Harry's like, so kids that grow up in wizarding households can just do magic outside of school and the ministry will never know. Dumbledore's like, basically, yeah, and it's, but we just trust the parents to, you know.
So it makes me think, what is the point?
Because it's convenient for the plot at a couple of points.
Yeah, like, it should be that the trace is only on muggle-born wizards or something like that, or wizards who don't live with other wizards who are over the age of whatever.
Yeah.
Something like that, because what's the point of having... So that means all the Weasley kids had traces on, so that fucking alarm bell at the ministry must have been going off all the fucking time when they were kids. So what is the point? And if it can't tell you who did it, because then when the fucking ministry arrived at the Gaunt house after the Riddles were killed, they should have been like, well, the trace was activated, so there must have been another underage wizard who was in the area at the time. That's cause for concern. So maybe there might be more to this story than what we think.
But it doesn't even alert the ministry that underage magic has happened. It's just that magic has happened. And if it is in a place where they know that only an underage wizard dwells, that's when they step in.
Then what's the point in it at all?
Yeah.
It's such a fucking broken system.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense on many levels.
Oh, God, fucking JK, put two boots on your head. Right.
But anyway, let's do what we said we were going to do and shrug and move on. Yeah, and then Harry says that the trace, that this whole underage magic detection thing, he goes, well, but that's rubbish. And I'm like, I agree, Harry.
Yes, concur.
And so they go into the Pensieve once more, and it's an old-timely slug club party.
Yeah.
Filled with a few students, and unmistakably Tom Riddle is there, wearing the ring. So he's already killed his parents.
I always imagine, like, handsome Tom Riddle from film two. And not the fugly one from film six.
I think I imagine my own Tom Riddle.
What does your own Tom Riddle look like?
A little bit like me. No, he doesn't really. He has much more... much smoother faced. And much... He's got... he does have black hair, but it's almost like Brill creamed and sort of wavy, but not curly.
Yeah, that's pretty much film two, Tom.
It kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah. I would laugh so much if when you're reading these books, you picture every character as yourself. Oh, fucking hell. So yeah, they all have been like pineapple and tea and Bacardi breezers. And then Riddle asks about a teacher who's leaving. And Slughorn's like, oh, Tom, how did you know about that? You seem more well-informed than half the faculty. And you're quite right. Crystallized pineapple is my favourite.
Yes, exactly. And then the whole room fills with a fog and Slughorn's booming voice comes out saying, you'll go wrong, boy, mark my words.
Yeah.
And then back to normal.
And then Harry's like, what? This is weird. And then everyone, like the party kind of ends there, like everyone files out and Riddle stays behind. And he asks Slughorn what he knows about Horcruxes. And then the fog appears again.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, don't go meddling with that, you little bastard.
Yes, Horcruxes are for when you are 18 and your dad says you need to know about things, boy. And he takes you out to the house down the road.
Time for you to become a man.
Yeah. And most importantly, don't tell your mother, even though she's dead. And then the fog clears.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no, he goes, I don't know anything, and I wouldn't tell you, even if I did.
Yes.
And then the memory ends.
Yeah, and he's like, Dumbledore's like, so obviously this memory's been tampered with. I would like to give you some homework, and that is to extract the real memory from Horace Slughorn.
Yes.
And then we do get a little bit of explanation, because I think if it had been left at that, people like us would have questions like, why couldn't he just Veritaserum? Why couldn't he just Legilimens?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that does get addressed in a pretty satisfactory way, a way that I was okay with.
Yeah, like Dumbledore's like, look, because he knows I want the real one, he'll probably be keeping lots of sort of like antidotes and...
Yeah, like he'll have an antidote to Veritaserum on him at all times since giving me this memory, and he is a... you know, he's a far more skilled Occlumens than Morfin was. And, you know, we don't want to, like, completely alienate. I don't want to fully just extract things from him by force, you know. We want to do this amicably. Like, I thought I was fine with the explanation of why he wanted to do it this way.
Yes, Harry, what I suggest you do is to hide his insulin needles. Then when he's at his most desperate, he will relinquish what you need. And then if you decide to give him the needles back, that's your choice. I'm here either way. A dead body. Just another one to add to my little collection.
Yes, all the ones from last year have decomposed, so there's plenty of room.
Yeah, this one will take many years to decompose, Harry. Oh, I won't even need to bring out my home embalming kit. Chapter 18. Birthday surprises.
Birthday surprises.
I've missed Hagrid's voice. He doesn't really talk a lot in this book.
He hasn't been in this book much at all. Has he even appeared yet?
Yeah, because they went round to see him, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, because they're not taking his class. That's why he's not in the book much, because they're not taking his fucking class.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say it's a shame, but it's not. It's been wonderful.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, and he's not in the next book that much either. Fucking hell, maybe book 6 and 7 are my favourite books.
So this chapter starts as, I reckon, over 50% of Harry Potter chapters start with Harry filling in Ron and Hermione about what he learned in the previous chapter.
Yeah. And Ron just saying bloody hell in various intonations.
Yeah, Ron then saying, oh, bloody hell, Harry, do you think it's maybe this and this and this? And suggests something completely dumb. And then Hermione goes, well, I don't know if it's that, but maybe it could be this, and suggests something a lot more sensible.
Yeah, Hermione just like clapping her book. That's how she gets attention in the room. She's like, well, actually. And everyone's like, fucking hell, she's at it again. Oh, fucking hell, books clapping for JJ. So
it's be glad it's only my book that I'm clapping this time, Harry.
Yes, I've been doing Kegels.
It's great for getting people's attention, but the aroma tends to be overpowering.
Also, you don't get a nice hard clap sound. You get a wet, sticky one. It's more like a thwack.
People have commented that it's an impressive amount of control I can exert over my labia.
What I like to do is put some dough on the counter and sit on that and make shapes in it. Like a cookie cutter.
So Harry's like, sorry, did you have a thought on what I was telling you? Or
yes, here's some I baked earlier. I mean, they don't look bad. And I like the pink and red icing. I think it really brings a, you know.
There you go, icing, yeah.
Yes, icing. I didn't butcher a load of female house elves, of course.
And Hermione has never heard of Horcruxes.
Yeah, and she's like, I'll see what I can find.
Yeah, and they go to potions, and it's there's a whole like thing about this person's theory of whatever, but long story short, they've got to create a super complex antidote, and it involves understanding the principles involved. And Hermione's like, ha, you're not going to be able to just cheat on this one because you've got to actually understand what you're fucking doing.
Yeah, and Harry's like, fuck. So they start doing it, and Harry can't really find anything in his book, so he's really starting to fucking panic.
Yeah, his reputation as the greatest potion maker is crumbling around him.
And then 2 minutes before the end, he does another little flick through the book, and he sees scribbled in a corner, oh, just give them a bazaar.
Yeah, just shove a bazaar down their throat.
And Harry's like, oh! And then he...
And then he gets up and...
Yeah. Oh, God, we do that joke so much.
I know. But what can I say? Harry just loves shoving stuff down people's throats.
Oh, God, so he runs to the cabinet and he pulls out a bazaar.
Yeah, and then hands it in as
he's
his,
like, oh, how bizarre. And Hermione is like, ooh, baby. Everyone's like, ooh, baby. Oh, and then Elani shows up and she's like, you're driving me crazy. And he's like, fuck off. You're not getting paid. So yeah, the lesson ends and Slughorn goes around inspecting everyone's portions.
Everyone's portions? and then Harry hands in the bazaar as his assignment and is all like, ha ha ha, oh, the cheek of it, oh, blimey.
So do you know with this bit, right, she writes that Slughorn stared at his hand for a full 10 seconds.
Yeah.
So I tried reenacting that to see what could be going through my mind that I didn't talk for 10 seconds.
It's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah. Literally, I was like, by second three, I would have like started laughing or whatever.
If it took him 10 seconds to realise what Harry was doing, he's not very good at antidotes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe he's like, oh, is he trying to do one of those ethnic handshakes? Shit, I don't know what to do.
Is this some some foreign custom?
Or does he want me to give him money?
Is it a suppository?
I don't know. Should I just tickle his palm? And then he clicks. He's like, oh, no. Yeah, okay, that's a viable explanation.
Yeah, okay, good. Glad we got to the bottom of that one. And so, yeah, Slughorn still fucking loves Harry for the cheek of it all.
Yeah, and gives him 10 points to Gryffindor.
Yeah, and everyone else is a bit disgruntled about it.
Yeah, Hermione's proper miffed.
She's proper miffed. You bear miffed.
That's the name of Hermione's perfume, Bear Miff. And the advert is her laying down on like a bed that's just like covered in like pink talc, and she lies down with like a really hairy bush and then she applies like a wax strip, but as she like rips the wax strip off, like a cloud of like pink like sparkles comes out and it smells beautiful, and she goes like, ah, and then the pink sparkles like they formulate the words Bear Miff by Hermione. Yeah, I like that one.
It was supposed to be Bear Muff, but then it was a typo, and Hermione was like, no, wait, I like it.
The guy typos bear to like bear, like arr. It's like Bear Miff. That could be the second version of the fragrance, and it's Hermione in a wood.
Still with a massive bush.
Yeah, but she rubs up against the tree, and then the tree like takes all the hair off, and then she falls to the floor exasperated, and then like a bear cub wanders up, and she gives it a cuddle. I mean, it just says Bear Miff, Pine Edition. Oh, she's in like the boardroom with Fred and George trying to pitch them these fragrances. They're like, I mean, yeah, okay.
I'm just not sure. What does Miff mean?
What a question. She just like slowly like pulls down her skirt. And they're like,
I see. You've really got to see it to understand.
Yes. See, when I was travelling through Iceland, I tried to teach them this word, but they said it a different way, you see. They didn't say muff, they said miff, like that. So I was like, I like that more. Yes, repeat after me. Wax your moth. Weeks, you myth? Oh, I can't even remember what fucking happened.
Everyone was miffed that Harry still was top of the class, even though he cheated.
Oh, fucking hell.
And then Harry hangs back after the class and just asks him. He's like, wondering what you know about Horcruxes, mate.
Yeah, and then Slughorn drops his potion bottle and it smashes on the floor. And then his eyes go fucking bloodshot red and his face goes white.
Remembering the time his father took him down the road, down the street. Made a man out of him.
Yeah, he's like, let's get down to business. Oh, fucking hell. No, and then Slughorn's like, what did you say? And I was like, whore. cruxes.
The crux of whores.
Yeah, then he's like, Dumbledore put you up to this, didn't he?
Who showed you that memory? And Harry's like, well, yes. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, and then Slughorn fucking does like a poll vote to the other end of the classroom, lands in an upturned pike and goes, I don't know anything, and then sprints out. Ron and Hermione are not sympathetic.
No. And the library has failed Hermione for the first time in living memory while trying to look up Horcruxes. And I'm like, well, that's not true, is it? For the first time since she tried to find a way to breathe underwater.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And since they were trying to look up the Philosopher's Stone. Well, to be fair, she did end up finding a thing on Nicholas Flamel, but it wasn't in the library.
Where was it?
I guess the book was from the library.
Yeah,
so, yeah, all right, I'll get in there.
But yeah, she finds a book called Magic Most Evil. And the way Stephen Fry pronounces it, it makes me feel there's an E on the end of that. And it says that of the Horcrux, the most, like, vile creation ever known to wizard kind, we would not speak of or whatever. And I think someone says, and I think Ron goes, well, what's the point of fucking mentioning it?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, fair dues. Most sensible thing you've ever said in this book.
In all the books.
Yeah, ever.
Just one line questioning the point of something. Yeah.
No, what was that book where Ron was like fucking really like on it with all the things he was saying?
Well, book two.
Was it?
Ron's off in the voice of reason in there because he's like, I don't think we should be here when Harry wants to hang around the thing with the spiders.
Yeah, because I remember we were commenting on it a lot.
Mm.
Saying like, oh, Ron's
well,
fucking...
You were.
He's like, Ron's so fucking amazing, don't you agree, Tom? 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 Tom died 25 years ago.
Their apparition lessons start.
They do start.
Yes. And their instructor's name is Wilkie Twycross, which I quite like.
I think Stephen Fry does the best job on this guy out of all the voices he does in the books.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he paints a picture with his accents. I can perfectly see Twilkie. Or Wilkie, sorry.
Twilkie.
Twilkie. Twilkie Wycross.
Why?
Twicky Wycat. Twix and Kit Kat. I imagine that. This really fucking, like, massive guy just, like, pulls up and tells, like, yeah, all right, I'm fucking Twix and Kit Kat. About to do your apparition lesson, right, here we go. And Hermione's like, oh no.
This is going to be an escape from the norm, and we're also going to have plenty of breaks.
And he's like, yeah, like a Kit Kat, we've all got four chocolate fingers, got to snap one off, put it in your mouth. And everyone's like, what? And Dean's like, excuse me. Yeah. He's like, oh, no, mate, no, mate. I was only joking.
He's like, oh, no, I mean, you took it that way. I'm
my best friend's black, mate.
Yeah. there can be white chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, white chocolate Kit Kats, the brown ones are equally as nice, and I enjoy them in equal quantities. Do you know what I'm saying?
And they deserve all the same rights and respect.
Yeah.
Just want to make that clear.
I mean, I do keep the brown ones in the back of the fridge, but it's only because it's cold in there. You know what I'm saying?
They like it in the cold.
Yeah. I mean, the white ones, I do. They're the ones I give to my nan on Christmas, but she's old, you know?
It was a different time, different generation.
And Dean's like, oh, you rural folks.
They're trying, bless them.
Oh my god.
So they've allowed apparition in just inside the Great Hall, and it's like, go and stand by a hoop, and Harry sort of runs off into the crowd to go and stand just behind Malfoy and overhears him saying, look, I don't know how much hint to Crab, I don't know how much longer, all right? It's none of your business what I'm doing. Just look out when I tell you to look out.
Yeah, and then Twycross is like, "Oh, everybody be quiet." And then he's like, "No, we must concentrate on the three Ds. Dick, dick, and dick."
Look, I have three.
Harry's like, "Fucking hell, he looks like a nine tails."
He's like, "You must concentrate on them."
One, two, three, and then he like disappears and appears in his circle. And everyone's like, "Ooh, ah." Like, okay, so now look at the hoop in front of you and concentrate on your destination. And then when you're ready, with determination, do a twirl on the spot and
move with deliberation.
Yeah. Ugh, she could have come up with another set of 3Ds.
What? If she was going to come up with different words, it didn't have to be D.
Yeah, but let's think. Because destination is good, determination, deliberation, I feel like needs to come before those two.
It's a bit of a stretch, wasn't it?
Yeah. Destination, determination.
Also, to me, deliberation means like to deliberate something, to like contemplate, to think about the options.
Exactly. So that should come first, really, to decide where you want your destination to be.
Yeah.
Deliberation, destination, determination. That would make much more sense.
Yeah, I guess. But then there's just another meaning of the word, isn't it? To move with deliberation, to move with purpose and intent.
Yeah, but I think she could have come up with a better one.
Yeah.
What's another Asian word? Destination, determination. I literally went, deliberation, and then looked and was like, oh, no, that's the word she did. Yeah. Damnation. There we go.
Damnation. Dilapidation.
Yeah. Dilapidation. Distillation. There we go.
Yeah. Well, that's all of them.
Yeah.
We've thought of all of them.
Divination. There we go. So nothing happens for three goes. Everyone just kind of twirls on the spot, looking at the twat.
Also, just before they start trying, Harry does mutter behind Malfoy, "I'd tell my friends what I'm up to if I want them to keep a lookout for me." And Malfoy turns around like, "Who?"
Yeah.
And then gets silenced by Kit Kat. By milky Kit Kat.
Yeah. Right, finally, all right, ready? Destination, termination, liberation. Everyone's like, all right. This whole time I'm imagining him with just like a chocolate around his mouth, by the way. Chocolate around his mouth, like an untucked shirt, and like a jam stain, like a baize collar. Yeah. And then nothing happens. And then on the fourth go, fucking Susan Bones. She splinches her leg.
Splinches her leg off.
Yeah. She screams in the hoop, and then all the teachers converge, go pop, 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 and make her leg go back.
Twilky Kit Kat's all like, "Oh, you people are useless." I mean, not you people, I mean, like, just you all in general, I mean. I didn't.
Yeah, fucking hell. See, this is, I wouldn't do it, because if you got distracted in the like the final second before you did it.
But that's what all the training's for.
Yeah, but I just feel like it's so, I'd be too scared. I really would be.
I'd plunge in, mate.
Oh, God. Anyway, Harry, after that, like, nothing else really exciting happens, and they fuck off. And Harry goes back to the common room with Ron and tries to find his Marauder's map, because he's like, I feel like Malfoy's definitely up to something. I want to keep tabs on him.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, he's in the Slytherin common room now. Well, yeah, I'm definitely keeping an eye on him. And over the next few days, he's like, sometimes he sees Crabbe and Goyle sort of off on their own in weird ways, like standing by themselves in the same place for long periods of time, which is weird. But at those points, Malfoy is like nowhere to be seen on the map at all. And he's like, but that can't be right. How can he be getting out of Hogwarts with such high security around? Developments.
Yes. Finger in my mouth.
Did you say finger my mouth?
I said finger in my mouth like that.
Oh, like the Dr. Evil thing.
Yeah.
Thought you were just like, finger my mouth.
Right, that's it. That's my new phrase. finger my mouth. What's that? F-M-M. Yes.
Finger my mouth, he's got it.
really, if you were in a shock of surprise and your mouth was open, people would be tempted just to put a finger in there.
Mm. That was a thing that people at my school used to do when you yawn.
You yawned, yeah. Say, I remember once one of my mates did that, and my mate on the other side lifted up her foot and put her foot in my friend's mouth. Because my friend was sitting on the table, and we were sitting on the chairs like facing her. So my friend leaned back to yawn. My mate just lifts up her foot and put it in her. Oh, that friend who got the foot in her mouth. I remember she was handing out sheets in class, and I must have yawned because my mouth was wide open. I yawned, and my friend must have sneezed or something or laughed, oh. And she like spat into my mouth.
Oh.
And my friend had like a retainer, so there was always lots of like goop in her mouth. And she spat it into my mouth.
Oh.
It was as rank as you can imagine.
Why would you tell me that?
Well, you said you wanted wank bank material.
Yeah. Oh, I'm already fully stocked up with all the smegma talk you've been giving me. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Hogsmeade's been cancelled.
Why?
Because of what happened to Katie last time.
Oh, I forgot about her. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And Ron's like, oh, that's bloody annoying. Oh, now all I've got to, that was on my birthday as well, all I've got to look forward to now is bloody apparition lessons. And people are starting to get frustrated with Twixie Kit Kat and his 3Ds. Oh yeah. And they've inspired nicknames for him like Dog Breath and Dunghead. And I was just like, I wish, because I thought it was going to be left at that, the 3Ds had inspired certain nicknames for him, and I was like, ha, that's good. And then like Dog Breath and Dunghead, I was like, well, you ruined it.
Yeah. That's four boots on your fucking head now. Yeah. Oh god. Also, no one ever says dung unless you're specifically talking about like a dung beetle and it's like a wildlife dog.
Yeah, like, I mean, I wonder if it's more of a because it's you know, it comes up quite a lot in like Harry Potter insults, so I wonder if because of magical creatures maybe it's more of a thing. But then you would just say dragon shit.
Yeah. Please let that be what they were calling Wilkie.
You know, dog breath, dung head, dragon shit.
Oh my god, yeah. So yeah, fucking Ron's birthday morning happens.
Yes, on the 1st of March.
Or was it evening?
Yeah, no, it's in the morning. Ron, Harry's like, happy birthday, mate, have a present. He's giving him some keeper's gloves. And I'm like, when the fuck did he get those?
Yeah, but do they get any of the fucking presents they get?
I mean, can you like send off for stuff from Hogsmeade?
I mean, you can send off to, like, Fred and George's stuff, so they must be able to, like, do mail order things for other things, right?
Yeah, it must be that.
And how did stuff work before, like, the internet made it? You would, like, use a catalogue, I guess, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and, like, send something off in the post and then get something in the post back.
And there must be, so, and all the shops in Diagon Alley must have, like, a little catalogue thing. Or they have, like, adverts for stuff in, like, the Daily Prophet or something like that.
Yeah, or there's just a big, like, Hogsmeade-wide or Diagon Alley-wide catalogue that's just, like, and all the shops have their own section in it.
I guess so, yeah, like how we used to have the Argos one, we'd, like, circle all the toys we wanted in the run-up to Christmas. Maybe they have, like, a similar kind of thing.
Yeah, I used to love looking through the Argos catalogue.
Same. Oh, my God. I remember for, like, years and years and years, I always wanted... This is boring, but I'll tell it anyway. Calvin Klein did this set of pens that were like had like dolphin kind of sculptures on the pens, and they were pens that the money from it went towards save the dolphins charity.
Wow, was this when you were like sort of an older kid?
No,
that is not what I would have wanted when I was a kid.
No, I liked normal things. Not normal thing. I liked no, it is normal thing. I liked like
you're starting to sound like Twilky Kit Kat.
No, I'm just thinking because like, I used to always want like a doll or something like that. And at the time I was made to know that it very much wasn't normal, but it is a normal thing, everybody out there. So
I had a Little Mermaid doll.
I did too.
I mean, I'd never seen it. I'm assuming now, looking back, that it was an aerial doll because it was a ginger mermaid with a greeny bluey tail. Yeah. But I didn't know it was that at the time. Literally, we were in a toy shop and like picked something. I was like, I want this.
No, all my sort of stories around that are all quite traumatic when I think back. But I remember I used to really have a thing for pens. I used to love fountain pens and stuff like that. And every fucking year, this fucking pen set was sold out. Yeah. And now I'm wondering if it ever was. My mum just lied to me.
God, you have any memories that aren't traumatic? Jesus, keep it light.
Oh, God. Anyway.
Yeah, Harry looks at the map and Malfoy is not in his bed. And he's like, huh. Ron's stuffing his face and opening presents. And then they go down to breakfast and Ron stops with a sort of far away, forlorn look in his eyes. And Harry's like, he's like, oh, I can't go to breakfast. Harry's like, well, what? Because you've just eaten like a handful of cauldron cakes. And he's like, no, it's not that. I can't stop thinking about her. I don't think she even knows I exist.
And he's like, I'm pretty sure that Lavender knows you exist. And he's like, who?
Yeah, no, bloody Romilda Vane, you bloody idiot.
Yeah, you dung breath, you. And Harry's like, fuck, you know.
You piece of dragon shit.
Oh, fucking hell. And Harry's like,
all right, funny joke. Yeah, haha. And then turns to go to breakfast and Ron punches him in the back of the head.
Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah. I mean, Ron is getting pretty intense right now.
And then Harry looks at the cauldrons on the floor and he's like, fuck, they were from Romilda Vane.
Yeah, they were the ones that I just threw them out of my case when I was looking for the Marauder's map. And Ron, you ate them. They weren't a birthday present. You shouldn't just eat everything you can fucking see, you piece of shit.
Yeah. So he takes Ron downstairs. He's like, we need to go to Slughorn. And I don't know how to fix the fucking love potion. And as they leave, they fucking bump into Brown.
Lavender Brown.
Yeah, not James Brown. That'd be cool, but weird. Yeah. He's like, get on the bird. And Ron's like,
yeah, or Gordon Brown.
Fucking hell. Ron's like, you fucking failed my family. You failed me. Oh, God.
He tells Ron that Romilda is having breakfast with Slughorn, and so they need to go and see him. So they go down there and he's like, oh, you need to make a potion, an antidote for Ron, etc. Slughorn's eventually like, yeah, fine, come in.
Yeah, come in. And he mixes one up, gives it to Ron, and Ron's face like changes in a second.
Yeah.
And Slughorn's like, oh, young love and all that tosh and wallop. Here, let's have a celebratory drink so we can all get drunk and have a little pants party.
Yeah, like 7 in the morning.
Yeah. And then he's like, what have I got? Oh, I've got this. Is it port that he has?
Mead,
sorry. Have you ever had mead?
I don't think I have, you know.
Yeah, I haven't either. I wonder what it's like. I just feel like it tastes like straw with water.
I think it's quite sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we should have some at some point.
I mean, do you really want that, or are you just saying words?
I want to try me. Oh God.
Ron's face suddenly drops. Yeah, and he's like, oh, I was saving this for to give to Dumbledore, but oh well, you know, special occasions and all. They go to cheers, but Ron's already necked his, and then suddenly goes all blue and frothy.
Harry's like, ah, what do we do? And Slughorn's like, oh, what? But it's just mead. Oh my God. And Harry's like, fuck.
And then the editor made JK cut that bit. Do you think it's really appropriate to have Harry go, fuck.
Well, you said you wanted a certain word count, and I can only get to it by putting 7 Fs here, so make your choice.
I don't think anyone was telling JK she needed more words in these books. So Harry runs and grabs the bizarre from Slughorn's potion kit that Harry had given him in the last lesson and jams it down Ron's throat, just like he loves to do.
And Ron goes still.
Limp and still.
Stiff as a board.
Chapter end.
Chapter end. Chend. legend. Oh, fucking hell. Thank you for joining us on this magic carpet ride through the dusty streets of Agrabah. Come back next week for more thrilling tales from Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Oh, fucking Half-Blood fucking Prince, you cunt.
Okay, so it's a special treat. Here's a special clip from our Patreon-only series, Poorly Read, at the Movies. Here is Le Sound of Music. They ring the bell.
Yes, and the butler's like, ah! Stop pulling on it.
What? I can see the doubt in your eyes, like, straight away.
Yeah, it was a stretch. Which was why it was so painful.
Yeah, God. So the nun lets them in. They're like, we want to see Maria at once.
Yes.
She's like, oh, Maria's in seclusion.
Seclusion, that's it, yeah. So they tell the kids to fuck off, basically.
Yeah, which I thought was, like, somewhat necessary. Because their mother superior comes along and they're like, is Maria still in seclusion? She's like, yes, yes. I wish to speak to her, even though she is in seclusion. I think it's important, so make her come to me at once.
Yes, take her out of seclusion. Don't knock, just rush straight in and see what she's doing.
You slide a periscope under the door so you can spy for us.
Yes.
And if her fanny's out, barge in, make a quick sketch, and then...
See how many times she's had to replace the bedpost.
See if she's whittled it down to a little nub. I've heard that her juice is a bit acidic, you see. Wow.
Can erode bronze.
Wait, acidic or hasidic?
Because there's an important distinction nowadays.
Yes. She may be in grave danger. Oh, God. Wow, wasn't that great, though?
Jolly good, jolly good.
So, yeah, that's a clip from our exclusive Patreon-only series, Poorly Read at the Movies. We're currently doing The Sound of Music. So sign up to our Patreon, man. It's $3.99 a month. You get two exclusive episodes a month from Poorly Read at the Movies. Find it on patreon.com/poorlyread.
Yeah. We also have some merchandise you can buy as well at redbubble.com/poorlyread.
Yeah. / or /
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's / but / is way more fun to say.
One makes it brown, one makes it yellow. Oh, God. Yeah, go buy some things.
Please.
Visit us on social media at poorlyreadpod on Twitter and Instagram. And email us your teens at poorlyread@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.